Let us hear the word of God. Our Old Testament reading is taken from the fifth book of Moses, called Deuteronomy. Reading from chapter 6 and beginning at verse 4. Love the Lord your God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities, you did not build houses filled with all kinds of good things. You did not provide wells. You did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Here ends the first lesson. The second reading is from the Gospel according to John. We're reading from chapter 14 and beginning at verse 23. This is entitled, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the Prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these holy words.
Let us pray. Lord, guard us, guide us, hold us, and lead us in your way today and always. Through your word, through your scriptures, through your spirit. Amen. This is a big week ahead, huge week ahead. I don't know, maybe just to remind a few of you of the importance of Wednesday. Wednesday is the 14th of February. Just to remind you, in case anyone has forgotten and gets into huge trouble, that you might not have to book anything, but you can feel free, very free, on this Wednesday, the 14th of February, to go into many, many churches and go through the celebration of the ashes on your head for Ash Wednesday. What else could I possibly mean? It's a big week. It's the beginning of Lent. But it's not just Wednesday. There's a big day on Tuesday as well. Tuesday is a big day in the church and in our church family and community, because on Tuesday we have Kirk Session. Another cause of celebration and fun. But it is, of course, also another big occasion. It is Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday. And sometimes we really enjoy that because we can look forward to getting all the ingredients for pancakes, to go and buy them all and have all the flavours that we want and treat ourselves, and it's fantastic. But that's not the point of Shrove Tuesday. It's not Pancake Tuesday, it's Shrove Tuesday. And the idea really is that you're looking in your cupboards and using up all those rich ingredients before you start your fast on Wednesday for Lent, for 40 days. Before you start that, the idea was to get rid of all the temptations. Now, I know that if I'm going to start a diet, I go through all my cupboards and eat everything I possibly can just in case I get hungry the next day. And 2 days later, I'm off buying and restoring all the things that I've used up anyway. And I got the feeling that if people here, many people here, decided on Tuesday night just to go through their cupboards and use up all the good things for their meal, they'd still be eating it on Thursday, never mind starting Lent on Wednesday morning. But the idea was to use up what you would not be using. Not that they had sell-by dates in those early days, but we do now. But to use them all up so that you could start the fast and you would not be tempted and everything would be good and right. But it's called Shrove Tuesday because it's also the beginning of confession. On Shrove Tuesday, you would go to church and confess all your sins again, because they build up quite quickly. And you confess all your sins, ready to start your journey closer to God, your journey of revealing God to you more, the journey of revealing yourself and your faith, the journey of increasing that faith on the 40 days of Lent. And so you would confess. You were shriven. It was Shrove Tuesday because you were shriven. You confessed. We don't do much of all that these days, do we? But before we begin Lent, first Sunday of Lent next Sunday, I thought today we should look and work out what is the way that we are meant to be travelling and what does that mean. We sang in our first hymn about the way that we are living and the way that we are walking and the way God wants us to be. And in John's Gospel, just before the part that Rob led, we hear about Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth and the life." And if we're going to begin our Lent studies this year and look to see where God is leading us, we want to follow Jesus. We want to be on his way. We want to be on his road. And there are books outside in the Hall of Fellowship. If you want to take one or borrow one for Lent studies, feel free. Or come to the Bible studies. Or do your own studies. Or think about something to do with your faith in the lead up to Easter Sunday. But Lent is about working out what is the way. And when Jesus says, "I am the way," then of course we all know exactly what that means, don't we? So if you just tell your neighbour exactly what that means now, that would be save me an awful lot of time and trouble. What is the way that we are meant to be living? Are we meant to be living in a way that says we are have no worries? That would be hard to do. When we meet God and know God, then it's quite easy to say that God is with us and that we're very happy. But when God's out of our sight and we can't quite see what's happening, then it's much more difficult to follow him and to understand where he's leading us. And sometimes it takes a lot of thought and consideration and understanding. What does that mean? What is the way that he's talking about? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where does that get us? Where does that lead us? And how can we do that? When Jesus said, "I am the way," it didn't just come out of nowhere. He said to his disciples, "You know who I am. I am the way." And you're thinking, well, what does that mean? The first Christians, before they were called Christians, were called followers of the way. But way before that, way, way, way before that, we had to see what's going on. And we have to see something and sometimes learn things. And we learn from all different people, all different ages, as we found out last week. We are a congregation of all generations, and each has their place, and each has to be allowed to have their place. And we don't all behave the same. And the older ones don't all behave the same either, let me tell you. I know some secrets, but that's for me to know. But what he was saying was, either way, and what they would think about, can you imagine what the disciples would be thinking about? Would it be thinking about the teaching that he had given? The way to the Jews meant the first five books of Moses. The five books of the Torah were the way that God had set down for people to live. That was the way of life. Now, not only was that their way, but they knew it. How many of you learned at Sunday school to be able to recite all the books of the Bible in order? And you get a wee prize for it. All 66 books. And if I started you off, the chances are you could probably keep going. Genesis, Exodus. It's dribbling down a little bit now, but yeah, okay. But the first five books, certainly, people know and people still know. You know their names. Do you know what's in them, apart from lots of words? Do you know some of the stories that are in them? But do you know that Jewish boys from the age of 6 went to school, went to rabbinical school, and they learnt the Torah, the five books of Moses. They weren't taught what the stories were, like we teach our youngsters in Sunday school and do lots of crafts. What they did was the majority of them learnt it verbatim. Five books of the Bible, verbatim. They would know in the beginning and they'd know all the way through to the end of Deuteronomy. Five books verbatim. You try that sometime. See how far we get. That was from the age of 6 to 10. If they proved themselves worthy and able, then they would go on from there and learn the rest of the original Testament. It wasn't the Old Testament, and it's still not the Old Testament to the Jewish people. It's the original Testament, it's their scriptures, and they would learn all the way through to Malachi. Every word. Every word. And then when they were 14, if they were still proving themselves to be worthy and smart, then they would learn how to use what they had learned. Because it wasn't simply a case of reading the words and saying, this is what it says. It was a case of interpretation. It was a case of debate and discussion. And when they'd gone past that little bit, then the rabbis would choose disciples, who were disciples who would simply not put back parrot fashion, what does Genesis 14 verse 3 say, and tell them. It was, what does it mean? What do you get from it? What is it for us today? It was interpretation and understanding from the very beginning. The Bible was never taken literally. It was taken to be interpreted and to be thought about and to be discussed and to be debated and to be questioned. And the more they questioned one another, the more they got answers. And it was not going to the rabbi and saying, what does this mean? The rabbi was saying to them, what does this mean? What do you get from this? And there was opinions and views and discussion and people airing theories that were either shot down or upheld or tinkered with and made something more of. The understanding and interpretation of Scripture has always been mobile, has always been changing, and it must continue to be allowed to do that. But it cannot do that unless we study it, unless we look at it, unless we think about what it actually means for us, and not just the words, but what is the way? And when Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was not diminishing the books of Moses. He was not saying, I am taking over from them. He was saying, I am a new interpretation and a deeper interpretation and a modern day interpretation for what this means for us now. And he was allowing the disciples, who were his disciples, the disciples of a rabbi, to continue to question. These disciples were not the elite of the students. They weren't the first-class honours guys. They were the fishermen who had come from the beaches. These were the fishermen who had probably learned the first five books at least, and maybe had learned up to Malachi, but were not in the area of discussion and debate and listen to. But Jesus was saying, your opinion matters, and your view matters. And I think I looked out today and I can hear voices saying to me, oh, we're not good enough for Bible study. I don't know it well enough. I don't know enough. I'm not clever enough. I couldn't do that with all those people in it. And Jesus is saying to you, as he said to disciples, it doesn't matter what hires you've got, degrees you've got, common sense you've got. What matters is that you are interested in Scripture and you want to learn more. And you learn from one another. You don't learn from me giving you 10, 15 minutes talk up here on a Sunday morning. We made perfectly clear of that yesterday afternoon at a seminar on Bible reading and Bible study, who said that folk probably retain about 1% of what a minister says on a Sunday morning, and that's probably good morning. We learn by being in the midst of other people and listening and voicing our own opinions and having them challenged. Because we can all think that we know the answer to something, whether it's just our own problems in life or anything else. We all have the answer to how to do things, and we all have the answer how things should be. But someone else will have something else to say about that. God will have spoken to them in some other way, and we have to bring them all together to know what is right and real and good and the best way forward. And we must, therefore, take seriously this idea of Lent, of understanding more of what God means for us. And that means delving deeper, and that means digging into things, and that means perhaps reading books that tell you that the Torah was known as the way of the Jews. That means reading books that you will agree with wholeheartedly and books with which you will disagree wholeheartedly. It means checking your opinions and your faith and your certainties, because there are few certainties in this life. You know, death and taxes are two of them. Faith tends to be that uncertain bit, the movable bit, the bit that we sometimes doubt and sometimes question, and the bit that sometimes seems so sure and right that how could we ever have doubted? And in this time of Lent, we have an opportunity to really look and see what is happening and what is going on. And to listen to Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if he is the way, and we listen to his teachings and debate them and interpret them and consider them, then we will find more and more of what the truth is for our world and our lives. We will find more and more about the truth of who God is. As we found out last week, we cannot describe him. We cannot, because every time we think we've nailed him and we've got that description set, he shows us another facet that makes us wide-eyed, astonished, amazed. He is total mystery, but he keeps showing us a little bit more and a little bit more. We also discovered last week, and I meant to bring some with me, about what our hopes and dreams had been perhaps when we were youngsters, our careers choices when we were wee, and things that were, once one person wanted to be a scientist and an acrobat, I think, I thought, well, why not? One person wanted to be a pirate and a chocolate taster, you think, well, why not? Because those things can happen. You don't have to have one or the other. But the thing is also to realize that things change. And what we believe is absolute certain one day is not going to be certain the next day because someone's given us another bit of information. What we've considered to be absolutely sure in our faith will be twisted and sorted and turned and asked about. And that is how it should be. We are from the Jewish faith. That is our root. And the way that they learned was by discussion. We need to get into that. And it doesn't need to be coming at a certain time of day to join a Bible study group. It doesn't need to be following that set pattern. It doesn't need to be following that set passage. But somewhere in your life, there has to be some way. Perhaps you have a discussion with a book that tells you Bible readings and offers you information and offers you discussion. But don't just discuss it with the book. If you think you've come up with a brand new idea, discuss it with someone else. If you feel God is showing you what to do and how to lead you, then discuss it with someone else. and find out how true it is, or perhaps if it needs slightly tweaked. We are so fortunate. We are graced, and we have the most wonderful God who interacts with us, who wants that relationship with us, but not just to hold us by the hand and drag us on his way wherever that may be, but to converse with us, to hear from us, to discover how we are feeling on that way. If we're struggling or if we need some extra help, he is there and he wants that one-to-one conversation constantly, but he also wants to be in the midst of that group of students, disciples, learning, learning and learning. There are people who have set views on the Old Testament that it's perhaps no longer of any use, but it is our basis and our foundation. They have set ideas on the Pharisees and religious leaders and the scribes. Heard one yesterday which said that they were all just power crazy, basically, and I'm afraid I don't agree with that one single bit. They were there to try and help to interpret the Torah for the people around them. And certainly some of them got a bit carried away with that. Hands up if you've never got carried away of trying to tell our children or friends what they should be doing. They were a mix of people, the same as we are a mix of people. They're a mixed group of people who have different perceptions and different ideas and hopes, the same as we are. But on this Sunday, before we start Lent, which is Transfiguration Sunday, more of that this evening if you want to come along. The Transfiguration is about catching a glimpse of God's glory, of catching a glimpse of the reality of God, about seeing him revealed on that mountaintop and understanding that although we go through darkness and pain and challenge so often and for so long sometimes, we catch a glimpse every now and then of what God is offering and of what God is. And that keeps us going and keeps us traveling and keeps us hoping. We have a lot to learn about God, and we will never learn it all. But we'll certainly never learn it all if we don't try, if we don't make that attempt. Glimpses of glory are not enough. We are to do what we can to discern God's word for us, for the church, to question and to continue to question time and time again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was not diminishing what had already gone before. He was saying, I can help you understand this. I am the way. Follow me, you will find the truth. Find the truth, you will find life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Discuss. Amen.